From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Sunday was a day of chasing new fires as well as the advancing existing fires. Today, the winds are calming across the northern part of the state. If you've been outside, you have instant proof of that. But the wildfires in some places are still growing. CAL FIRE is about to do its daily briefing, which usually happens at 7 a.m. It is happening today at 9 a.m., and so our guests are on standby. We are expecting to bring you the latest information from CAL FIRE and the Office of Emergency Services Chief of Fire and Rescue. So for this moment, because we're talking about the winds and the changing picture, let's join Michelle Mead, meteorologist from the National Weather Service, and get some updated weather information. Hi, Michelle. Glad you could be with us today.
Hi, Beth. How are you doing?
Well, I think today everybody's breathing a bit of a sigh of relief, at least from the winds. So what is the forecast today, both for the Sacramento Valley area, and then take me to the west, too, in the area of the Kincade Fire?
So, like you mentioned, we've definitely seen a decrease in the winds. We did have some bruises overnight, but those are also coming down quite a bit, and that will continue through the rest of the day. So the headlines for fire weather concerns are going to expire here at 11 o'clock for all areas. And then we're going to get a 24-hour break. And unfortunately, we are seeing another wind event. Another weak wave is going to come down and increase the winds yet again from the north and northeast. So through the Delta and across the Kincade Fire from early morning tomorrow through midday Wednesday. So we're not out of the woods yet for the winds because we do still have very dry conditions across the area. Now, the winds for tomorrow are not going to be as strong as we saw over the weekend, but they are going to be very similar to what we saw last Wednesday.
Can you verify the description of hurricane-level winds over the weekend, and then what mileage are you looking at in this event tomorrow and Wednesday?
So to be categorized at hurricane level one, you need a gust of 75 miles an hour, and we did have a few of those in the coastal range and then up in the Sierra. Those have calmed down quite a bit. The event we're looking at for tomorrow into Wednesday, it's going to be more sustained 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts 35 to 50. So it's not quite the hurricane 75 mile an hour wind, but still 50 mile an hour is definitely strong enough to keep those fires burning pretty actively.
Michelle, this is wind event on top of wind event. What kind of extended forecast are you able to talk about with any reliability at this point?
So the good news is after Wednesday's event, it does look like we're going to be continued dry, but the winds look like they're going to calm down a little bit. The ridge off the west coast is going to build over Western California a little bit, which will decrease the chances of seeing these inside sliders. That's what's been bringing us all these wind events. And when the ridge moves over the state, it kind of pushes all those winds into Nevada and further east. What that does mean is temperatures are going to warm back up above average. So while we'll be pretty chilly for the rest of this week, by next weekend and early next week, we'll be back up near 80. And average this time of year for the valley is in the mid-70s, low to mid-70s. So we're not quite out of the heat yet, but the dry conditions, unfortunately, will prevail. So, again, we're going to keep messaging, you know, it's still dry out there, so even though we don't have strong winds, we're still under a fire threat just because things are so dry. But the winds that really carry the fire are not going to be as strong in the next 5 days after Wednesday.
All right, Michelle, there's some good news in that message. I appreciate you joining us.
You're welcome.
That is Michelle Mead, meteorologist from the National Weather Service office in Sacramento, now on the phone from the California Office of Emergency Services, Chief of Fire and Rescue, Brian Marshall. Hi, Brian. Glad to have you with us today.
Good morning.
I know the briefing is happening now, but tell me what the priority is right now and focus, if you would, on the Kincade Fire.
Well, the Kincade Fire, OES Fire and Rescue, continues to support with moving fire engines and firefighters to that incident. And because of the entire statewide fire warning and watch that we're under. We have reached out to other states to get additional resources here in California. And 75 fire engines arrived in California from Oregon yesterday afternoon and last night. And they were dispatched to the Kincaid Fire and other fires that were breaking in Northern California.
I'm just getting a bit of an update from the briefing that now 4,000 firefighters, as you're describing, additional engines are coming in. Can you tell me what happened overnight that the containment dropped back to only 5%?
Well, as the fire continues to grow exponentially, the control lines that are in place, the control percentage actually shrinks because the fire is outgrowing the containment.
Okay. And in terms of overall size, what happened to the Kincaid Fire yesterday?
Well, the Kincaid Fire continues to be dominated by the severe weather condition that we're in. And wind pushes fire, obviously uphill, downhill, and it's very hard to work that fire aircraft. It's difficult to fly. The fire's moving faster than we can keep up with it in the operational sense. So these wind-driven wildland fires are extremely difficult to control.
Chief, what can you add to this picture about PG&E's plans and their update on this overlap of perhaps beginning to restore power in some areas, but not getting to that point by the time another wind event starts up late tomorrow?
Well, from the fire and rescue side here at the Office of Emergency Services, we're working with local government fire departments as these power shutoff events occur. You have to remember the power shutoffs are due to a weather event, and it's extreme fire conditions that could happen should a fire start. So we are augmenting local government fire departments throughout the state that are being affected by the power shutoffs by putting extra fire engines in the communities to provide surge capacity should a fire start.
Is this related to the governor's declaration of a state of emergency across the state, or does the response and available resources not happen quite that quickly?
Actually, it happened prior to the governor's declaration. We monitor the weather, and when weather conditions become extreme, we augment local government fire departments with additional resources. So we are out in front of the event. These additional resources are responding at surge capacity when new fires start, and it gives us a better opportunity to control these fires before they become major disasters.
Can you add to what extent there's mobilization happening in the South? We're hearing this morning about this new fire along the 405 in the area of the Getty Museum. Can you address what's happening in Southern California?
So this new fire broke out early this morning. We immediately began mobilizing resources. That's local government and Office of Emergency Services fire engines. To the incident, these augmented strike teams, these pre-positioned strike teams, we had four of those responding early on. And each of these strike teams has five engines in it. So that was four times five. That was 20 fire engines immediately that would have had to be mobilized, and there would have been a longer response time. They were on the front lines. We also have mobilized other fire departments throughout Southern California and six more strike teams. So that was 30 more engines. So we continue to mobilize fire engines and firefighters to that fire to provide support to the Los Angeles City Fire Department. and they're on the ground working right now, and more orders are being processed to support that major incident.
Can you give me any context, Chief, for how different what you just described might be from, for example, let's go back to 2017, and I'm trying to get a sense of whether the volume and the pace of response has changed dramatically in these last couple years of firestorm activity.
Well, the Office of Emergency Services received $25 million to pre-position resources in communities that had severe fire weather predicted. So we are providing a surge capacity to get more fire engines and firefighters on scene quickly in an area that's been identified with severe fire weather. So that augments our initial attack resources. It just puts more firefighters on the ground, more fire engines to protect structures. And the goal is to contain these fires when they're small. So we're putting additional resources and personnel in the communities to better protect them.
Is that new money and higher in this 2019 fire season than it was over the last 2 years?
We actually received the money in the last fiscal year, and we began the process of pre-positioning resources. What we've seen this year in conjunction with the power shutoffs, because the power shutoffs are driven by severe weather. So the severe weather that is impacting all of California right now, we're putting more and more resources out there. And today we have 17 of these active pre-position resources out in the state, and that's over 100 fire engines and the firefighters that staff them that are additional. They're over and above using this pre-position funding.
All right, Brian, I just got an update from PG&E, so I think I'll say thank you and let everybody know what PG&E is saying about the weather all clear. And again, I appreciate you just stepping out of that briefing to join us today on Insight.
Thank you very much.
And that is from the California Office of Emergency Services, Chief of Fire and Rescue, Brian Marshall. PG&E's statement is that the weather all clear has been issued for this latest public safety power shutoff event. 6,000 team members are conducting inspections on equipment and working as quickly as possible, PG&E says, to make repairs where needed and restore power. PG&E says it's monitoring the weather and defining the scope for a potential, again, public service power shutoff event for October 29th, for later this week, as those winds are expected to surge again. Now let's get CAL FIRE's Deputy Director, Chief Mike Moeller, on the phone with us. Hi, Chief. Thanks to you, too, for stepping out of the briefing and joining us right away on the air.
Yes, Beth, as always, thank you for having us.
I'd like your take also on what happened overnight, that now on the Kincade Fire, there are two fronts, I understand, both in Sonoma County and Napa County, where the battle is happening and there have been evacuations in Napa County.
That's correct. So we still experience those extreme fire conditions, as you mentioned earlier in the show. The actual containment number lessened. Now we're over 66,000 acres. This fire is actually the direct protection area of CAL FIRE with our management team. And what we're seeing is those red flag conditions are actually continuing. We saw a lull in the wind event, but again, we still have a lot of open fire line. Additional resources have been ordered, but it's definitely something that we are following and monitoring.
Chief, at one point I saw there was a projected date of containment on the Kincade Fire for November 7th, which is interesting because the campfire started last year on November 8th. Is that November 7th date off the table now?
You know, when we look at a containment date, we use the term cautiously optimistic. It depends on, again, weather conditions. What we're going to see is another wind event come in the middle, latter part of this week. That's something that we put that is a date that we can move. But right now, as the containment lessens and we see this explosive fire growth, that's probably a date that can get pushed out.
Will you talk a bit about Contra Costa County? It seemed that two, three fires erupted at the same time. They were frightening to people, but I'm understanding that maybe they're for the most part under control now.
That's correct. And what we're calling that is a complex in that county. And again, a local government partner of ours and CAL FIRE responded to those three fires. We feel comfortable with those fires. The most important part of that, Beth, is those fires have actually been wind tested, meaning that we've had a significant wind event around those containment lines. They have not expanded. So we're comfortable with those. But still, anytime we have fire, open fire line, it's still a risk. It's still a caution that we take very seriously.
Will you describe the erratic fire behavior that happened this weekend during this extreme wind event?
So, we've talked about this, but it's not the new normal. This is the normal. What we see is explosive fire conditions. What we're seeing now is the spotting, the embers carrying a half mile to a mile ahead of it. Firefighters are actually, what we do on this is we do a tech called flanking the fire. We cannot get in front of it. We have to try to steer it to the lesser areas of population. But again, explosive fire growth like we've seen in the past 5 years is that unfortunately the state is impacted from border to border.
We should focus on 101 in the West. And over the weekend, there were preemptive evacuations in a part of the county that you might not think fire would become an issue of. 101 has been a border. I understand no fires west of 101 for decades and decades. Can you talk to me about some of the decision making in that part of the state? And also, Chief, how we are in a different era of decision making.
And unfortunately, what we've seen, even with the fire yesterday in Vallejo, you know, people think that because of what we get the onshore, the marine layer every day, and that it's, you know, right up against a body of water, that they're not susceptible to these type of fire conditions. As we saw several fires yesterday that were right on the coastline, that is not true. So operationally, I can tell you CAL FIRE, the state fire agency, are working with their local government partners is to remind every agency that through training and communication response that any area of the state is, it's not if, it's when it's going to be impacted by a wildfire. But in most importantly is that the community and the public sees exactly what is going on and to be prepared, because as we saw, unfortunately, in Coffee Park, the Tubbs Fire, which the Kincaid Fire is burning into some of that footprint, is you may think that you're not in the traditional wildland-urban interface, meaning brush up to the back of your home. You can be in what you would consider a suburban area and be impacted by wildfire. And unfortunately, what we're seeing along the coastline is a precursor to what we see statewide.
All right, Chief Mueller, one more question. The governor over the weekend in his press briefing said, quote, there is a plan to get out of this. This is not the new normal. And he was referring to PG&E and the power shutoffs. What latitude does CAL FIRE or the CAL OES, for that matter, have when PG&E is able to make its decisions about power shutoffs completely independently? Can you tell me what happens from inside this network of agencies?
Yes. In fact, as you know, Governor Newsom, his administration, from the day he came into office, has leaned forward in fire protection, forest health and management, prevention. In fact, his second day in office, having the press conference at our Colfax Fire Station, is we are walking lockstep with the governor, his administration, Office of Emergency Services, CAL FIRE, local government, to look at the power companies and how they are shutting off power. What your listeners need to remember is that we never preemptively ask for them to shut down power in any area unless it's directly affected by an ongoing incident. So what we will do under the governor's direction, the California Public Utilities Commission, is work to see how, like the governor said, let's clarify for us, when I say new normal and normal, I'm talking about vegetation conditions, climate change. Governor's talking, directly about the impacts of these PSPSs. So our due diligence is to work with the administration to review, are these PSPSs actually preventing wildfires, and get that data back to the governor so we can look at working with the utilities to see where is this as a very advanced state. Is this something that has to be done? Is this something we need to do? And in, but is to come out of this with a better opportunity and a better solution than what's happening now.
All right. Well, Chief Brian Marshall called us being under surge capacity right now, and I think that that's an echo being used across all the network of emergency response agencies. Anything to add to this? And then I'll thank you and let you get back to your next meeting.
No, Beth, as always, thank you for, supporting us. We've done these interviews several times now, and now you add that extra layer of the public safety power shutoffs to the communities, and really it's about public service for all of our agencies, getting people out of harm's way, and again, by the governor's statement as far as what we're doing, we need to look harder, faster in how this works and a better opportunity to remedy this solution.
Chief Moeller, thanks as always for your time.
Thank you.
That was CAL FIRE's Deputy Director, Chief Mike Moeller. Stay with capradio.org for continuing coverage. Now, one more report on the wind, the fires, and the power outages. I'm glad that Danielle's been standing by. This is Danielle Vinton from KQED. And Danielle, I believe you're in Petaluma. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes, I live in Petaluma.
So you've been out reporting for several days. Tell me a little bit about where you've been and what you've seen happening around you.
Yeah, so I first heard about the fire on Wednesday night, and I got up really early Thursday morning and was driving around Geyserville at about 5:30 in the morning. And the winds were very strong, really sort of hurricane-force winds. And what was striking driving up on Highway 101 was how close the fire looked. It was really hard to tell kind of exactly where it was located because the lengths of flame were just enormous, and it looked like it could be, you know, really close even when it was still, many miles away. When I got to Geyserville, the flames were coming down the hills, approaching the valley. Like I said, you know, the winds were really strong, and I got out of there. I didn't feel safe sticking around. Since then, I've been at the temporary CAL FIRE headquarters in Santa Rosa, speaking with some friends and family who have evacuated, and some fire meteorologists talking about their work.
Say something about that and the difficulty in predicting fire behavior, which may not even be a correct term at all.
Right. Yeah, I mean, fire modeling is a really complex science. It's useful because the scientists can give firefighters and fire officials some idea of the potential rate of spread. But it's by no means a perfect science. You know, it has to incorporate temperature, humidity, terrain, fuel conditions, and the winds, which are really difficult to model on a fine scale. During these wind-driven fires, one of the major dangers of spread is due to spotting, which is when these firebrands, a piece of wood or a leaf on fire can be flung by these winds hundreds of feet, even up to a mile or more. And scientists cannot predict that spotting behavior very well right now. I did speak with some researchers yesterday from San Jose State University, and they're starting to work on that question, which I thought was really interesting. They have this new tool, which is a very precise radar mounted on the back of a pickup truck, so they can drive it to fires and use it to peer inside of the smoke plume. So they're starting to get a look at what the inside of a plume looks like and the particles that are blowing around in there that create these firebrands. And they're hoping that it's still early days, but eventually this may make it easier to get a handle on how these spot fires start and where they're likely to spread.
Well, it's hard when you're in the midst of an event to allow yourself to step back and look at the big picture, but so many people are focused on prevention and data gathering so that sooner rather than later we can turn the tide on knowing more. And it is a fascinating science, isn't it?
It is. And at KQED Science, we've also done a lot of reporting on steps that we know work to lessen the risk of catastrophic fires. So things like hardening homes, creating defensible space, controlled burns. And I think that in the coming months after all of this after this crisis period dies down, you know, I think there'll be a lot of attention on talking about, you know, what can we do in the future to lessen the risk of catastrophic fire.
Danielle, thank you so much. Be safe out there. I appreciate your time today on Insight.
My pleasure.
That's Danielle Vinton, a science reporter from KQED. And again, stay with CAP Radio's continuing coverage. Up next, Politico's political reporter Carla Marinucci will join us. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.